The heart of the matter. How simulation reflects clinical stress in critical care training. In the high-stakes world of critical care, medical professionals are frequently called upon to perform life-saving procedures under intense pressure. Among these, airway intubation stands out as one of the most critical and technically demanding tasks. This procedure, which involves inserting a tube into a patient's airway to ensure that they can breathe, is often performed in emergency situations where seconds count. The ability to intubate swiftly and accurately can mean the difference between life and death. However, this task is also fraught with stress, particularly for trainees who are still developing their skills. To better understand how these trainees cope with the stress of intubation, Dr. Neil Cunningham of the University of Melbourne and colleagues conducted a groundbreaking study comparing physiological stress responses in simulated and clinical environments. Their findings offer valuable insights into the effectiveness of simulation-based training, which has become a cornerstone of medical education. Simulation-based training has revolutionized medical education over the past few decades. By allowing trainees to practice procedures in a controlled, risk-free environment, simulation helps them build the necessary technical skills without the fear of causing harm to patients. High-fidelity simulations are particularly advanced, incorporating realistic patient mannequins, authentic medical equipment, and scenarios that closely mimic real-life emergencies. These simulations are designed to be as immersive as possible, often including unexpected complications or time-sensitive decisions, to replicate the pressures of clinical practice. However, while the technical benefits of simulation are well documented, its ability to accurately reproduce the psychological stress of real clinical situations has been a subject of debate. Dr. Cunningham's study addresses this crucial question by examining heart rate responses, a reliable physiological indicator of stress, during intubation in both simulated and clinical settings. The study recruited 25 critical care registrars, who are medical professionals in the advanced stages of their training but have not yet fully qualified as specialists. These registrars were observed performing airway intubations in both a high-fidelity simulated environment and a real clinical setting. To monitor their stress levels, the researchers used Fitbit Charge 2 devices, a type of wearable technology capable of providing continuous, real-time heart rate data. This approach allowed the researchers to capture the trainees' physiological responses throughout the intubation process, offering a detailed picture of how their stress levels fluctuated before, during, and after the procedure. The use of heart rate as a measure of stress is well supported by scientific literature. When a person encounters a stressful situation, their sympathetic nervous system activates, leading to a series of physiological changes collectively known as the fight or flight response. Among these changes, an increased heart rate is one of the most immediate and easily measurable indicators of stress. By tracking heart rate changes from baseline levels, the researchers could infer the intensity of the stress experienced by the trainees in both environments. The study's results were both surprising and informative. In the clinical environment, where the stakes are high and the outcomes directly impact patient lives, the median heart rate change from baseline to during the intubation period was 14.72%. This increase reflects the significant stress that trainees experience when performing intubation in a real-world setting, where the pressure to succeed is immense and errors can have serious consequences. In the simulated environment, one might expect a lower stress response due to the absence of real patient risk. However, the median heart rate change in the simulation was slightly higher at 15.96%. This finding challenges the assumption that simulation is inherently less stressful than clinical practice. In fact, at the exact moment of intubation, a particularly critical and challenging part of the procedure, the median heart rate change was 16.03% in the clinical setting and 25.65% in the simulation setting. This spike in heart rate during simulation suggests that the trainees experienced significant stress, possibly due to the immersive nature of the simulation, the awareness that they were being observed and assessed, and the understanding that their performance could impact their progression in training. Another noteworthy aspect of the study was the variation in heart rate responses among individual trainees. Some registrars exhibited relatively stable heart rates across both environments, indicating a consistent level of stress tolerance. In contrast, others showed more pronounced fluctuations, particularly in the simulated setting, where the controlled environment may have amplified their awareness of being evaluated. These variations highlight the importance of considering individual differences when designing and implementing training programs, as trainees may respond to stress in unique ways. The findings of this study have significant implications for the field of medical education, particularly regarding the role of simulation in training critical care professionals. The fact that heart rate responses in the simulated environment were comparable to, and in some cases even exceeded, those in the clinical environment suggests that simulation is not only effective in teaching the technical skills required for procedures like intubation, but also in preparing trainees for the psychological demands of these tasks. For medical educators, this study underscores the importance of incorporating high-fidelity simulations into training curricula. These simulations provide a safe and controlled space where trainees can experience the stress of critical care procedures without the risk of harming patients. By exposing trainees to the physiological and psychological pressures of clinical practice, these sessions help build resilience and develop coping strategies that will serve them well in their future careers. Moreover, the study's findings suggest that simulation could be particularly beneficial in helping trainees manage performance anxiety, which can be heightened by the knowledge that they are being observed and assessed. As medical education continues to evolve, the role of simulation in training programs is likely to expand. This study by Dr. Cunningham and his colleagues offers compelling evidence that high-fidelity simulations can effectively replicate the stress of real clinical environments, making them an invaluable tool in preparing trainees for the challenges of critical care without incurring patient risk. However, the study also raises important questions about how to optimize simulation training to account for individual differences in stress response. Future research could explore ways to tailor simulation experiences to better meet the needs of each trainee, potentially incorporating personalized feedback or stress management techniques. In conclusion, the research conducted by Dr. Neil Cunningham and his colleagues provides crucial insights into the effectiveness of simulation as a training tool in critical care medicine. By demonstrating that simulation can induce a stress response similar to that of real clinical practice, the study validates the use of high-fidelity simulations as a core component of medical education. As the medical field continues to evolve, studies like this one will play a vital role in shaping the training of future healthcare professionals, ensuring that they are not only technically proficient, but also mentally prepared to handle the intense pressures of their work. This audio is a summary of the paper, Heart Rate Responses in Critical Care Trainees During Airway Intubation, a comparison between the simulated and clinical environments, in BMC Emergency Medicine. For further information, you can connect with Dr. Neil Cunningham at neil.cunningham@sbha.org.au.